Bill Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm a guy that does all those funny voices on the radio, and last week I was doing the voice of a character named Vernon Dozier, and he was talking about how he's a Santa at a mall, and he's the best Santa that mall has ever seen, because whenever the kids ask him for something, by God, he gets it for them, even if he has to threaten the parents.
Bill Henry. Flashback.
Is it Chad? Yeah, I got
a
question.
Hey, Ted, how you doing? I'm Santa Claus.
Well, you know, I understand the Santa Claus issue and everything.
Yes, sir.
And Santa Claus is all about giving and receiving. But, it's kind of hard to make ends meet the way this economy is right now. And I'm just wondering if you can afford a $200-something PlayStation for your kids on a chef salary. Can you do it if your kids want it?
If my kids wanted a PlayStation 2 and Santa Claus, they said, see, I'm Santa Claus. Okay? So my kids come to me when they want to ask for their toys.
Yeah.
And then I ask them, have you been good or bad? Well, they know they've been crap all year because I'm their dad, too. So they can't lie to me.
But, I mean, like I said, I mean, I'll do anything I can for my kids, too.
Well, Ted, you know what, Santa Claus, you got to put a wrapper on your slapper if you can't come up with the toys.
Hey, that's not what Christmas is all about. See, you got people like you trying to tell us how we need to raise our kids, and you probably ain't got kids. You know?
I had a son, but he's in San Quentin right now.
Well, like I said, I mean, that's...
He set fire to about 3-4 warehouses, and...
Well, that's probably because having a father like you, it made him do that, you know?
No, because I didn't give him that G.I. Joe, like I said.
No, because you didn't show him no love. You sat around and cursed all the time, and you didn't show him no love.
Hey, Sunshine, I say to my son, look, if you're a good little boy, Santa Claus, which was me, will bring you the stuff. Then I'd get into my Santa Claus suit, and I'd say, come on, I'm Santa Claus. He'd say, holy Jesus, look at this Santa Claus. He'd sit in my lap, and I'd say...
Would you watch with the language?
I'm sorry. I'd say, have you been a good little boy? And he'd say, yes. I'd say, no, you haven't. You lying, because Santa Claus knows you didn't take out the trash. Your bedroom looks like somebody tossed a freaking Claymore mine inside of it. That's all I'm talking about. See what I'm saying, Ted?
Well,
then I said to him, Sunshine, you ain't getting squat for Christmas.
Well, no, you don't get what Dad can afford. If you got a roof over your head and you eat and you're not starving to death, you're a blessed person. And everybody's trying to take this Christmas thing, and they take it too far. It's
take
not
it too
about
far.
All this here buying this and buying that. You should be showing kids love, not showing them what their mom and daddy can give them. Because
but that is love.
What you're doing, you're driving a wedge between them and their parents. And
no, sir, that is love. Give kids everything they ask for. That's
no,
love.
No, you're driving
oh,
a wedge
on.
Is what you're doing.
How am I driving them away when a kid says,
well,
yeah.
What you're doing, you're taking and making the kids turn against their parents because their parents cannot physically and ain't able to go buy them a PlayStation
well,
or whatever they want to do.
Well, then they shouldn't bring their kid to me because they know I'm a Santa Claus. I kick ass.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't drag my kids to see you for nothing. I mean, because all you're doing is polluting their mind. You're
Are you putting
them,
me on? Kids love me.
You're showing them no respect, no nothing.
Kids love me, man. Don't put me on like that.
Well,
come on, you're yanking my chain, right?
No, I ain't yanking you. I wouldn't drag my kids to you for nothing. I wouldn't.
You want to know how much you love your
kids? You couldn't pay me to drag my kids to you right now.
Oh, come on. Quit clowning.
I ain't clowning. I'm telling the truth.
You know, I like you, because you're just joking with me.
No,
the
I'm
guy
not joking.
Is
I am telling the truth.
You really think you're
like
kidding
you
me?
Like you said, well, I put my hand on the Bible. I'm telling you right now, I will not drag my kids to you if they paid me to.
Come on, seriously.
Seriously, hey, no.
Seriously, now, come on, quit
seriously,
it.
Seriously, they would not
right, it's just
pay
you and
me enough.
It's just you and me right now. Seriously, you like me, don't you?
No, I don't. You're obnoxious, and you're just, you got a problem.
You are right, man.
You're the one that's got a problem.
Will
that,
you get serious?
I tell you, if I was raised with you, I'd be burning down warehouses, too. And that's all I got to say.
Do you love this guy or what?
The guy is serious. Why won't you believe that he's...
Come on, quit clowning around, Ted.
He's not clowning around.
No, I ain't clowning around. That's all I got to say. Like that lady said, what comes around goes around. And that's all I got to say about that.
No, one more thing, Ted. Do you really think a cow pie wrapped in tin foil is something you want to give your kid for Christmas?
No, I mean...
Well, that's what you said. You said you would...
He did not.
Well,
cow pie wrapped in tin foil.
With a bow on it.
No, I mean, like I said, you're
right,
wrong.
Ted, Merry Christmas to you, Ted, and to your family, okay? We're going to give you a break here.
Is that all the phone calls for me? I like being on the talk radio show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Santa.
Thanks a lot, Sunshine.
Bill Henry. Flashback.
That was from when, Thursday? And that was that guy. He's such a great Santa Claus that he gets the kids everything, even if he has to hold a knife to the throat of one of the parents, which he did. He's Santa Claus. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And that's our show. And if you want to know more about it, visit our website, philhenryshow.com. This coming month, we have got a special web event. We're going to tell you more about it as the week progresses. We're very excited. Stay tuned. All the details forthcoming on the Phil Henry Show on the web, man. It'll be the biggest event on the web. Biggest event since, well, I mean, if we had to compete with a Victoria's Secret thing, maybe, you know. But since it's probably going to be the only thing happening that day, it'll be huge. So you got to check it out. PhilHenryShow.com is our website. Get your backstage pass. You get our Listen Live line. What do you call it, Listen Live line? That's not what it is. You can listen live. You can listen to today's show live or anytime during the 24-hour period. You can also get an archive of 30 days of our show. In other words, the last 30 days of the show fully archived in case you missed something. And then a selection of long-form and short-form bits in our audio archives going back 7-8 years, various generations of the Phil Henry Show. It's all there, philhenryshow.com. Check it out. It's fantastic. In fact, all this week we are featuring a studio-quality commercial-edited bits from Phil's October 26th live performance at the Museum of Television and Radio in Los Angeles. Then today's long track features Bobby Dooley following the terror and anthrax attacks. Homeowners Association President Bobby Dooley feels that her neighborhood should finance a Dooley family bomb shelter to help ensure her presidency will continue come hell or high water. Besides, a dark hole would do wonders for sexuals. Steve's sexual confidence includes a commercial for a new Peenemann Enterprises cookbook. And then Coast to Coast, Osama bin Laden in the Seventh Dimension. Art Bell is joined by Brigadier General Johnson Jameson, who utilizes his trans-dimensional pod to hunt down an invisible Osama bin Laden in the Seventh Dimension. That's the Seventh Dimension. That's today on our website. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Did you get a load of this guy they caught in Afghanistan? He's an American. He's an American Taliban fighter. And the guy is over there now, and I guess he was wounded in the fighting, captured, and I guess, I hope he likes his life over there. Some cat, I don't know the whole story, but he was in the basement of that fortress in the Mazar-i Sharif where they, you know, Marines and the Northern Alliance stormed, and among the Al-Qaeda fighters that they took prisoner, he was one of them. They were just interviewing his father. The guy's a very devout Muslim, and cat's totally into beards and burkas, and he's just down with the whole thing. In other words, the guy has got a screw loose. You got to have a screw loose. You got to have some kind of a screw loose. I'm not talking about to be a Muslim. And by the way, what's a Muslim and what's a Muslim? Anybody got any answers for me on that one? I thought Muslim was the black American version of a Muslim. But I'm finding that Muslim is a slightly bigger asshole of a Muslim is what I'm understanding so far. Because the guys over there call themselves Muslims. They don't call themselves Muslims. Oh, one's plural and the other is, who the hell knows? In any event, to leave all of this behind and go fight with the Taliban, that's not being a devout Muslim or Islam or anything else. You got a few bats in the belfry, Charlie. My son's a devout Muslim. He's a devout nut. Gonna go over to, like, you can be religious, man, but who wants to live in a cave, eat dirt clods, eat rat meat, run around in a, you know, circa 1978 Datsun pickup, and go down to the local mud hole for a, you know, maybe a shave and a haircut? Well, I guess you can't get a shave. How about the haircut? Get your face wrapped with a warm towel. Oh, excuse me. I mean, put your head under a warm towel. He converted to Islam at 16. Now he's 20. He spent the last 6 months fighting with the Taliban. Yeah, that's what teenage smoking will do. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
So he says his name was Abdul Hamid. He said he came from Washington and he said he'd been fighting for the Taliban. Among more than 80 Taliban fighters who surrendered to Northern Alliance forces Saturday was a grimy, light-skinned fighter who said he was an American. Abdul Hamid had a 15-minute conversation with a news magazine reporter as he sat with other injured Talibs in an open-bed truck and waited to be transported to a military hospital. He said he converted to Islam at 16 and since then studied at Islamic schools in Pakistan. He's now 20, blah, blah, blah. The Taliban are the only government that actually provides Islamic law, Hamid told Newsweek. By Sunday morning, he disappeared, apparently whisked away by U.S. military personnel. Late Sunday, Newsweek revealed on its website that Hamid had been identified by his parents in the U.S. as John Philip Walker Lind, 20, of Northern California. His mother, Marilyn Walker, said a photo of him that had appeared on the site was the first indication she had of his whereabouts since he left a religious school in northwest Pakistan 7 months ago. A family friend called him a sweet, shy kid from Marin, but somehow he became a Taliban fighter. Just how that happened remained a mystery of profound proportions Sunday to family friends. Let's see, I want to leave home. Should I go with a bunch of my friends and tour Europe, or should I join the Taliban and eat rat crap? I know what I'll do. I'll go and eat rat crap. But only in America, man. And every generation does it. I'm getting out of high school. What did my friends all do? They got on the road, man. Everybody went to Europe, except for me. Somehow my friends could afford to go to Europe. I don't know how they did that. They were sleeping in hostels, and they were using the U-Rail passes, and they were going around Britain on British railways, and generally doing. I didn't have enough money to get myself out of California. I don't know how they did it. And by the way, this guy is from Northern California. But that's a whole other planet up there. You know, I got some nice friends up there. It's a whole different planet. And when you go to Northern California and you fart and maybe it smells like broccoli and it should smell like cauliflower, you're in trouble. You're in deep, serious trouble. Because what animal did you slaughter for your farts to smell like that? What crime did you commit against nature? What kind of meat are you eating? It's not soy. It must be some kind of red meat because your farts don't smell as good as ours do. You don't have that sweet Northern California soy fart. You got that Southern California meat fart. And friend, we just can't have that. It's a whole different planet. And I've said so many times, and I love to repeat it because it's just something that I, you know, really like to do. Southern California is a place where everybody, you know, like just lives and sort of craps on each other, and that's fine. And then we go on vacation to Northern California because we like to sit up there and, I don't know what, look at the Golden Gate Bridge. But I'm done. I've seen San Francisco just enough times. I don't need to go back up there. One thing I did notice, though, I got to tell you this. Do you notice, I swear to God, if I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. Every single brochure that you get from a car company, when you go to the showroom to look at cars, every single one of these brochures, at one time or another, will have a picture of the car parked somewhere near the Golden Gate Bridge. Every single car, every new car booklet, brochure, my wife and I were looking at cars this weekend, there it is, it's parked near the Golden Gate Bridge. It's parked near the Golden Gate Bridge. Why? San Francisco is a very elegant-looking city. Is that it? It just goes along with every other city just has buildings. San Francisco's got the cars ain't red. The car was, I don't know, it was like puke green. It matches the bridge. No, I think it's because it's an elegant-looking town or something. I don't know. Every bloody car is up near the. They'd sell me more cars if they wouldn't put the cars near the Golden Gate Bridge. I've been over that bridge so many times. Been over that bridge, back and forth. It's the only way you can tell how big the car is by comparing it to the bridge. All right, anyway, here's Dave on the Phil Henry Show. Dave?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. You know, I used to live in Northern California, in San Francisco. Actually, was born there, moved away, and I predict that this American Taliban guy is going to get embraced by a huge part of that population, unfortunately.
Unfortunately?
Yeah.
What do you mean? In other words, it's great that he's fighting against America?
I bet there's a huge population in Northern California that's going to believe that.
I think there's a huge population in Northern California that embraces the individuality that it took for him to join the Taliban. I don't know that there's a huge bunch of people up there that are glad he's fighting against America.
Yeah.
But anyway, you didn't live there very long, so what would you know? Thanks a lot for your call. Here's Clay on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Clay.
Hey, man. All those guys over there in Afghanistan, they're all doing heroin. And that's how the guy got joined up. It's pretty simple. Get him.
And there's a lame call from Portland. You think all the tree huggers in Haight-Ashbury are going to worship this jagoff? Really? Okay. Some guy took off, joined the Taliban, man. Well, anyway, they had a picture of the guy on the news. He weighs about 47 pounds. You'll notice as soon as they find the guy, I'm an American. I want you to know I'm an American. Oh, really? Why are you telling me that? Oh, I don't know. If just maybe you could get me the hell out of here. Take me back to my mom and dad. 1-800-449-8686 is another story here that migration from New York City is up since the attacks. Philip and Donna Kahan, they liked living on Manhattan's Upper West Side, but had considered moving to New Jersey for better schools. The World Trade Center attacks settled the debate for the family. They are gone. Gone before the exhaust settles, man. They're in New Jersey. September 11th pushed her way over the edge, Philip said of his wife. Yeah, sure, Phil. It's probably the other way around. You're blaming her. She couldn't handle being at work in New Jersey, where there are no bridges and tunnels to deal with, and the children are at school in New York. So the Kahans sold their apartment, and they're moving to in February to a house in New Jersey, about 8 miles from Upper Manhattan, and they're not alone. The New Yorkers are moving out of the city and into the suburbs. Some have moved, some are looking, and some of the wealthy who have already owned summer homes outside the city have moved to them full-time. Maybe rent will go down, and maybe we can all afford to live there. And I'm not kidding about that either, because after they bombed Pearl Harbor, people were buying prime property there, baby. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to own beachfront property in Oahu? How much do you think it's worth? It's probably worth a pretty penny. Well, after Pearl Harbor, they were selling that crap. You could buy it dirt cheap. So if that's the situation going on in New York, where do I sign up, man? I'll buy a few apartments, a couple of condominiums, a couple of buildings, a couple of the Trump Towers, maybe the UN. Sean, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello. Got a question.
Yeah.
You know, with this Afghan guy, the American guy that became an Afghan?
Right.
A Muslim?
Yeah.
What are the chances of him being a spy? You know, because he was whisked away pretty quickly. And they want to, try him here in America?
Did they whisked him away really quickly?
Yeah, you know, they found out who he was, and as soon as they found out who he was gone.
Well, if he was just a regular old American, they would have just left him there?
Well, I don't know. But the thing is that they...
Well, you
got
to have an answer. In order to get an answer for one question, you have to have an answer for the other question.
True.
So if he was just a regular old American who went actually to fight for the Taliban, do you think they would have whisked him away, or he would have stayed there?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, they would not have whisked him away. He would have stayed there.
Yeah, I do, and I think they would have tried them.
Oh, you're an American? Oh, nice to see you. Well, let's just get... If I'm the military and I find an American fighting with the Taliban, I think I want to debrief that guy. Whether he's a spy or not, I think I have a few questions to ask of him.
I guess as an American, you'd want to tell more than you would as a Taliban.
Well, I don't know, but as an American, you have an opportunity to debrief. You know, to debrief somebody, to interview them, to interrogate them, and get some information from them, like... How many more of you guys are there, and where's Bin Laden living, and is there anything he wants for Christmas?
Yeah, but see, this guy is supposed to be a devout Muslim. He's not going to give up any of that information. He actually called his father and told him, he was happy.
You want to know what? You want to know something, Sean? People are all different. Everybody's different. Just because a guy's a devout Muslim doesn't mean he ain't going to cop to anything. You know, just because a guy calls himself a heavy-osity Al-Qaeda fighter to the core, you wave a lollipop in front of some guys and they'll go ahead and suck on it. And maybe this guy, you know, he's a skinny little 20-year-old kid. He's away from mama for the first time. Maybe he's just about had all he can take of the Taliban.
Yeah, he's probably a little scared.
Well, these guys, they like to call themselves hardcore, and I don't doubt that a few of them are. I think there's varying degrees of what hardcore means. Some of these guys went running for the hills after the first American bomb dropped, and some of them fought to the bitter end there in the basement of that fortress. There's all kinds. Hey, this isn't anything that America hasn't seen before. The Japanese were on islands for 30 years. They were pulling Japanese soldiers off of islands 25 years after the war ended. Tell me that ain't hardcore. Or maybe they didn't have a map. Or they just didn't have a radio, didn't know the war ended. Or maybe they liked it there. I don't know. Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Thank you. Mr. Roland Schwinn is a homeowner from Newport Beach, California, and he joins us on our Newsmaker line. Mr. Schwinn, you don't believe in wearing any kind of underwear or support. Is that correct?
That is basically correct, yes. I believe that any form of constraint or restraint of that part of the body is unhealthy and can result in injury and a variety of degenerative conditions. And so as a result, I choose not to wear what you might call underwear. Frankly, it's more like a torture device. It is unhealthy.
What injuries could you suffer from, or could a man suffer from wearing underwear?
There are a variety of injuries, a strangulated testicle, impotency, prostate problems. The testicles themselves can become damaged. I choose not to wear underwear, and I choose not to invest in what is the $17 billion a year underwear industry in the United States. And for me, it's simply a statement of philosophy, but certainly nothing that I want to impose on anyone else. The problem that I got into is at the tennis club.
All right, you were at the Lido Isle Racquet Club. Now, you wear, let me just see if I got this right, you wear a pair of tight Lycra shorts?
That's correct, yes. They are Lycra nylon shorts.
And you're not wearing any underwear?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, as I understand it, the 12-year-old daughter of one of the pros was there and apparently pointed out the fact that I wasn't wearing any underwear and made a comment which was repeated back to me concerning my lack of size or some rude comment like that, which I think is inappropriate for a 12-year-old. I was insulted. I was very much offended. I'd been a member of that club for 14 years. I went to membership. I wanted to find out who that brat was and why she was there, and I found out she was the daughter of the pro. I can tell you I run into this a lot. The child said it looked, like something small, but she said that I wasn't wearing any underwear.
Well, you're walking around in Lycra shorts with no underwear.
Which is my right.
Okay, here's what I want to ask you, and I'll give our phone number out at 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Roland Schwinn is with us. You are not wearing underwear, but you're walking around in tight Lycra nylon shorts.
That is correct, yes.
Now, those are the kind of shorts, they're black tights that a lot of guys wear for cycling, right?
Yes.
If you don't want anybody commenting on you not wearing underwear, why would you wear something that tight?
It's a very good question, Phil. The answer to the question, though, is this. I do that to make a statement against wearing underwear and wearing the kind of strangulating jock straps and underwear that I think is injurious to a man.
So you want people to know that you're not wearing underwear?
I want people to know that I take a stand against the $17 billion a year underwear industry that causes, in my opinion, serious injury to men.
Okay, so you're not wearing underwear and you're wearing tight shorts so people can see that.
Yes.
Why can't they comment on it?
That's where I don't think anyone is entitled to insult someone. So what I'm saying is I don't wear underwear and I wear tight shorts to let people know that I don't wear underwear, but they do not have the right to insult me.
Well, I don't, you know, look.
I want to be healthy. A sexual man 10 years from now, and I want people to see that.
As a comment against underwear, which I understand. But don't they have the right?
No, they don't have the right to be rude. And they certainly don't have the right to say things that are eventually going to get repeated to me.
All right, well, here's the deal here. You're walking around in tight Lycra shorts, no underwear on, and people can see that you're not wearing any underwear, and yet you didn't want that girl to make that comment.
No, she shouldn't make that. It's insulting. Insulting me is like insulting a Jewish man for wearing a yarmulke, or insulting a...
Okay, now you can't go there, man.
Why can't I go there? It is a cultural choice. It is.
Yeah, but a man wearing a yarmulke is making a religious statement.
It is still a cultural choice. And you wouldn't walk up to a Christian wearing a crucifix and say, why do you have that thing around your neck? You wouldn't walk up to a black man and say, I'm sorry, you're too dark. And yet people are allowed to make statements about my lack of underwear. I am making a penal statement, every bit as valid as an individual that wears a cross around their neck.
Well, I think you're making a comparison that is way overboard there to say that you walking around without any underwear on in Lycra nylon shorts is the same as a religious statement. I think that's ridiculous. On the line, right?
It is a political statement, Phil. It tells people I am not part of their plastic, phony underwear world. I'm not putting my manhood in the jail, that penis jail that a lot of men wear. Underwear is a ripoff. It's a waste of money. I'm not giving the bureaucracy more money, and I want people to know, but they're not allowed to be rude and comment on it.
You want to make your statement, but you don't want people to make their statement.
They're not making a statement. They're being bigoted. And
well, what's the difference? What's the difference between you walking around without any underwear on and tight pants so everybody can see it, but you don't want them to say anything about it?
Because I am making a political statement, a statement of cultural choice.
And me saying you look ridiculous is what?
That is an insult. You understand the difference?
So you're walking around without any underwear on in your tight shorts, and you're making a statement against underwear.
Against the underwear business, against the underwear industry, yes.
But if I say to you, hey, Charlie, I can see your stuff, and you look pretty ridiculous.
You are being insulting.
I'm being insulting.
Yes. An insult, as opposed to a political statement, is a much, much less valid statement. You're not allowed to insult anyone.
Is anybody allowed to say anything to you about the fact that you're walking around in front of 12-year-old girls without any underwear on in tight shorts?
No, they are not.
No, they're not.
No, they are not. It is insulting, and it is something that I would consider to be actionable. And
what if I'm the father of that 12-year-old and you're running around out on a tennis court with no underwear on, just your tight shorts and your stuff flying around in the breeze?
What about that?
If I'm the father of that 12-year-old girl, can I say anything to you?
No, you may not. If I can save one other man...
I can't say anything.
No, you can't say anything. I'm allowed not to wear underwear, but you have to keep your mouth shut. Now, I hope I'm being clear.
Well, it doesn't sound fair to me, and it doesn't sound realistic. I mean, you're...
If I can save one other man in America from having an unhealthy package by showing my goods, then I can die a happy man. And that's all I'm saying. And I think in order for me to move this point of view forward, you and all of your friends keep your mouth shut about whether or not I'm wearing underwear.
If I invite you into my home with my four kids and you're wearing your tight Lycra satin shorts with no underwear on, I can't say anything about it.
No, you may not. You have to be polite. You have to show me to... the drinks or the pool table or whatever it is we're going to do.
Do you wear these tight shorts all the time?
When I'm relaxing, yes.
Why?
Because it makes a statement against the underwear industry.
So you're running around letting everybody know.
Yes, and I don't want anyone staring either. You can't say anything and you can't stare. But I get to go anywhere I want without underwear on in tight shorts. See?
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686. And that 12-year-old girl apparently was laughing at him, and he's considering some action against the tennis club. I don't know what her... But he said in his press release, do you comment on a woman's large breasts after she's had implant surgery? Well, it's the same thing. You shouldn't comment on a guy who's running around without underwear on, even if it's in front of your 12-year-old daughter. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I want to ask you, Roland, why people, if you're going to run around in lycra shorts with no underwear, why people can't comment on that?
Because it is offensive to those of us who may not be of normal size.
Overly large or...
No.
The other direction. The other direction?
Yes. And for people to laugh and point is absolutely patently offensive. So I will do what I have to do to make my statement about the underwear manufacturers, but you don't get to point and say, oh, look, he's not wearing underwear.
Well, if you're that small, who can notice?
Apparently, the girl had made a comment about cocktail sausages, which I thought was patently offensive, and I said something to her parents.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Julie on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Julie, go ahead.
Hi. I have a really big problem with what he's saying when he tells you that you cannot comment at all. I'm not for commenting and being rude to someone and, you know, making fun of them.
Well, then why comment?
Because if you are exposing yourself in front of my children, I have a perfect right to tell you that that's offensive and you need not do it.
But I'm not exposing myself. I simply don't wear underwear.
But obviously it is extremely noticeable and obscene-looking, or it wouldn't upset someone enough to say something about it.
Why are they looking? And I would ask you this, and I'm being as
careful
as I can.
Why are you flaunting it?
Why are your children looking at my crotch?
Why are you flaunting it to draw attention to it?
To make a statement against the underwear manufacturers of America, which conduct a $17 billion con game against the American male.
Yeah, I heard that. You just contradicted yourself. On the one hand, you said that they, what are they doing looking at my crotch, but you just admitted that, yes, you are flaunting it. And
I'm simply saying I'm making a statement, but they don't have the right to point and go, look at the man's small thing.
You obviously don't understand children then, because if they feel uncomfortable, they're going to say something, and it may not come out in the way that you like
them,
to hear.
Why don't you teach them not to say something?
Because there are small children, and they're trying to express themselves as best as they know how.
Let me give it to you this way. A woman goes in for breast implants. She gets 44 double Ds. She wants everyone in the world to see them, but she doesn't want anyone to comment on them to her face. I'm simply saying, and I am claiming for myself, the same right. It's offensive to hear that someone wants to put a toothpick in my cocktail sausage. I find that offensive.
All right. Well, we got enough of that, okay?
Well, I'm just making a point.
I would find it offensive if this woman with double Ds walked around flaunting herself.
And you're going to comment? You're going to go up to her and say, nice rack?
No, I'm not that crude, but I might go up to her if she is exposing herself in a way that is inappropriate.
Is a man allowed to do that? Is a man allowed to do that? Can I go up to a woman with Dolly Parton-sized cans and say,
oh, God, would you please?
Well, no. Can I say something about it? No, I can't. I'm not allowed to.
If you would be quiet,
I'm a man. I can't say anything. Men do not comment at a woman looking like a six-shooter when they're cold. Why should you make comments on my piggy in a blanket?
I'd be happy to answer to that if you can keep your mouth shut long enough to hear my answer.
Oh, now you're telling me to shut up. The $17 billion...
Will you shut up and let her finish?
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, here's my problem. If the woman is exposing herself in a way that is not appropriate in public, someone does need to say something to her.
Even if it's a man.
Man, woman, I don't care what.
Oh, bull crap. You know the man isn't allowed to say a word.
All right, okay, look, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. What is your point?
My point is, as I said earlier, I ought to be allowed to run around in tight shorts with no underwear, and no one's allowed to say anything about it.
But you want everybody to notice that you're not wearing underwear.
Yes.
Here's Elizabeth on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just find
you need to turn your radio down, Elizabeth. You need to turn the radio down.
Sure. I just find it interesting how he wants everybody to look at his crotch so that he makes a statement, but nobody's supposed to make their comment or say what they think.
Exactly.
I mean, has he ever stopped to think about whether or not other people find what he's doing offensive?
Well, I don't really care. If they do, they don't have to look.
Well, then who cares what you think about our comments?
I'm making my statement against the underwear business in this country.
And we're making our statement against your tight shorts.
Well, you are not allowed to rude.
Oh, so you're allowed to make your statement, but we're not?
Exactly.
Well, that's ridiculous. You're in the wrong country, bub.
No, I'm in America, and you're not allowed to be politically incorrect.
Then
you're not allowed
to
be offensive
to
me. Don't be offensive to me.
You're offensive to me by wearing your tight shorts.
Oh, so you don't like black people?
I don't like what people?
Black people.
What does that have to do with wearing tight
shorts? Well, obviously you'd walk up to a black man and say, I don't like the color of your skin. You'd
that
walk
man
up to me
does
and
not
say
have
that
any
I don't
choice
have
choice over the color
and
of
I don't
skin.
Have any choice either. I can't wear underwear. It strangles my testicles.
You know what? But you don't have to be wearing tight lycra shorts hopping around playing tennis
I'm
either.
Simply making a statement against the $17 billion in your jockstrap industry.
And other people are making their statement
will
against you.
Come on, you're ridiculous. Thanks for your call, ma'am. Good luck on whatever lawsuit you're going to file, and good luck finding a judge that's going to hear this one, pal.
I have a right to wave my flag high.
Yeah. Okay, so there is whatever the hell that was. 1-800-449-8686. I'm done with that crap. I wear underwear, by the way, the ones that my wife buys me. I wear those boxer shorts. I don't wear them tighty-whities. I wear those boxer shorts, man. I'm past the tighty-whitey stage. I don't even know what's hip underwear anymore, do you? What are people wearing? Well, what do you wear that's comfortable? I got to wear boxers. I don't wear no freaking briefs. I wear those things, and next thing you know, they're up in your throat. Now, if I'm out and about and I feel free, maybe a jock strap. No, I'm kidding. When I go down to the local bar, boxer briefs. Yeah, those are big. I've seen those. Can't buy a pair of underwear anymore without spending $50 anyway. $50, $60. Jeez, all you're doing is covering up your bare rear end, man. So you got something between you and your slacks. Going to cost you $50 just to do that. Remember when the multicolored briefs were in, like the bikini briefs for guys? And then the thong. And, of course, now, if you haven't noticed, all the rage, women are wearing the hip huggers with the thong that rides up high on their backs. You can see they're wearing a thong. That's kind of the hip look. And, for you know, briefly there, like about, I don't know, where I was out in front of the building the other day, and I saw, like, this woman's underwear, and I thought, geez, the poor woman, her underwear's riding up the crack of her ass, and she doesn't even know it, until I saw about six more sitting that way. And I thought, Jesus, that's, there it is. What the hell is underdos? Superhero? What? What are they? What is it? What's that mean, superhero underwear? They're made up to look like superhero costumes. What does that mean? I don't understand what that means for little kids. Kids' underwear. Kids' underwear looks just like adults' underwear, except it's smaller. Okay, thanks for that, Chris. Thanks for being clear with that one. Underwear for kids. And the women are wearing that? All right, anyway, let's try this one. Let's go to our website again. 1-800-449-8686. Well, that's the number of the show, but our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, and you can get all of the audio and all of that crap. Sign up for your backstage pass, though, because coming up within the next several weeks, we are going to have a web event. Can't tell you much more than that, involving our website, involving the show, involving giving you a look at our show, a first time ever, never before seen, behind the scenes look at the Phil Hendry Show. But you have to be a subscriber to the Phil Hendry Show website. So log on to philhendryshow.com, click on the area that says Backstage Pass, Member Updates, etc., and find out more. You can be a member of the Phil Hendry Show website and get that backstage pass, and then stay tuned because we'll be telling you a little bit more about those interactive events that we have planned.